Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They took out my heart. They took it and threw it away, and I don't know what they put back, but it felt weird and different and strange, and like I'd lost my most special part. And they kept telling me I was lucky to be alive, but I didn't feel alive, I just felt half dead. I was supposed to be special. I didn't ask to be, but they made me feel special when I was ill, and then I was special when I nearly died and had a transplant, but then they just expected me to be normal and get on with life.
There's no such thing as normal. It's a stupid word. It does a lot of damage.
Nothing feels right.
Hello and welcome to Book Versus Movie. This is a podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we try to decide which we like better, the book or the movie. I am Margot P. of ColoniaBook.com, and this is my good friend and co-host, Margot D. of Brooklyn Fit Chick.
Hi, everyone.
So we in the United States, this is Thanksgiving week. I'm trying to make up my mind, am I going to make a turkey pot pie, or am I going to make turkey chili, or am I going to make turkey fettuccine today?
They all sound good.
How was your holiday?
It was really great. I went someplace in Brooklyn with a bunch of friends, and my the host was just not doesn't like turkey, so she made duck legs, and it was
that sounds good.
Oh, it was so rich. It was so good. It was so good.
All the things.
All the things.
Beautiful weather. It was like 72 degrees. That's Thanksgiving.
There you go. That's San Diego. Stay sexy, San Diego.
Well, we were just saying before we got on the air, we are in the past. We've been doing this podcast for going on 9 years now. We've had this tradition. We always doing holiday movies in December. But after so many years, so many Decembers, we thought we had run out of holiday movies. And so last year we switched to Disney in December, which is what we're planning to do for this year. But then, unexpectedly, this week, there was a suggestion that came up to do today's movie, Last Christmas, which is based on a song. So if you're looking at the title of this episode and you're wondering if Last Christmas was based on a book, it is not. It's based on a song. And here's why. Because when the pandemic started, we decided to do a brand new episode every single week. And that means it's not the easiest thing to read a whole book in a week. Sometimes it's Thanksgiving week and we're busy. So we pick something that's from a shorter literary source. And so when we say book these days, we really mean as long as it's adapted from a literary source, or we can kind of do the gymnastics to prove that somehow, it is eligible. So it might be a short story. It might be a magazine article. It might be a play or even a song. And we've done a few episodes based on songs. Mm-hmm. And although I think this is our first holiday one. So today we're going to be talking about Last Christmas, which was inspired by the music of the late, great George Michael, who, am I remembering correctly, that he passed around Christmas?
Christmas Day 2016. He was 53.
Wow. Oh, it's just so sad.
It's
my goodness.
Breaking.
So we are not nailed down as far as what we're doing from now through the end of the year. We haven't decided which Disney movies we're going to do. So we are really, really looking for suggestions. If you have some ideas, and I bet you do, there's a few places where you can share those with us, meet other listeners of this podcast, and just, you know, have a good time talking books and movies on the internet.
We have a basic Facebook page. You can be sure to like that. All the episodes are posted there, but we're much more interactive in our Facebook groups. You type Book vs Movie Podcast Group into Facebook. It's a private group, and we really do just talk about books and movies and ideas for the show. The literary source needs to be something we can get our hands on pretty easily, and the movie needs to be on a major streaming app. I think we talked about doing this movie last year, but it wasn't available anywhere, so... Or it was really expensive. I forget which one it was. But so this year, Last Christmas is available on all the apps for rent. So this is why we picked it. We are on Twitter at Book versus Movies, and the same thing on Instagram. Spell that all out, Book versus Movie. And we have an old timey email. It's bookversusmoviepodcast@gmail.com. Those are great places to send us your suggestions. And also, if you would like a sticker, just send us, you know, an email with your address and we will drop them in the mail for you.
That's right. And if you really enjoy the show and would like to help keep us in books and movies, you can also support us on Patreon.
Patreon. You look up Book vs Movie Podcast to support us. We just put up our American Gangster episode, which is something we recorded a couple of years ago. We're putting everything from 2020 and then previous to that on our Patreon wall. But also, just to let y'all know, we're putting the holiday movies for freezies on our Patreon page, just so you can go and check it out and you can listen for yourselves. So that's Patreon. I want to thank everyone that just supports us there. It really helps us, once again, just for books and movies and all that good stuff. And but, you know, if money's tight, we totally understand. If you could just leave us a review in iTunes, we'll give you a shout out on the show, or at Good Pod, Spotify, wherever you are, y'all. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yes, thank you. And yeah, lots of holiday episodes on the Patreon page available for the low, low price of free 99.
Yes.
Now, today, I'm very excited to talk about this movie because for me, this movie came out of nowhere. Well, you know, a discussion we had over Thanksgiving. I bet you have this happen to you all the time, Margo, that people find out about this podcast and that you host it. And then people are like asking you questions about books and movies for the like the rest of the dinner. But we were talking about Christmas movies and Christmas movies that don't seem like Christmas movies, like Die Hard.
Which we've covered.
I think we've covered all of them. And somebody was saying, like, what's the least expected Christmas movie that people don't think of as a Christmas movie? And I think we have a new winner from last week's episode, Eyes Wide Shut.
Yes, that's true.
Eyes Wide Shut is a Christmas. It came out in the summer for some reason, but it's a Christmas movie. Did you know that? Yeah, it's true. Just listen to our last episode and hear why. So, this, though, I mean, it's right in the title. It's called Last Christmas. And I didn't see too much. I remember Emma Thompson promoting it when it came out. And I don't know why. It was right before the pandemic. So we were still, was it out in theaters?
It was in theaters. It was in theaters. So, and it was very successful, but it had mixed reviews.
Oh, maybe that was why I didn't go see it.
Yeah, because the trailer, which we'll get when we get to the trailer section, they basically give away
The
story, which
that's
it's not
right.
It's not the first movie to use that trope. It won't be the last. I mean, it's,
no, but
it did. For some people, it kind of ruined it.
You just reminded me. The trailer's not. Well, we'll listen to the trailer a little bit later, but let's talk about the amazing Emma Thompson.
Well, let's start with George Michael because he's the one.
Oh yeah.
I don't know about you, Margo, but...
I want a jitterbug.
There we go. So we're Americans. Early 80s, I had a pen friend. She lived in England. I lived in New Jersey. Aww. And we would write back and forth, and we were talking about music that we liked once. And she says, you just get ready for when Wham hits America. And then I first saw that video, Ed, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. And I'm thinking, this is not going to hit America, because this is
I thought the
so
same
camp.
Thing.
It's so over the top.
They're not going to go for this.
And we were wrong because
we were totally wrong.
We were totally wrong. Wham.
We were like, more please.
More please. Yes, more that's what please. We needed.
In fact, just that guy. I just want his little butt shaking back and forth next to the jukebox.
I mean, with his short shorts and the gloves and all that. You have to understand, like, and I listen to 80s on 8 on Sirius FM, you know, they have those 80s channel. Yeah. And they'll do like, you know, the original VJs, and they'll do a 1981, 82. This is around the time we got Wham. It's like Air Supply. It's Yacht Rock and Commodore's Ballads. Yes. It's like Kenny Rogers and Commodore, which I'm not mad at any of those things.
Oh, no. Love it.
But
yeah, I pop Lionel music. Richie any day.
Any day. In any form. Outrageous. Any form. But we needed a pop sensation. This is before I think even Duran Duran for us. I mean, this is like,
I think so. I want to say maybe that's true. Yeah.
You know, they crawled so that Duran Duran could run. I don't know, but they were very British. They were very campy. They were very like, what's my sexuality? We're all just having a party over here. And we were like,
Day glow.
Catchiness. He was born Georgios Kyriakos Panagiotis. Sorry, he's Greek. It was June 25th, 1963, but he was raised in North London. And it's George Michael along with Andrew Ridgely. And they started with Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. And then we had these series of hits from them. And this particular song George wrote, and he produced it, and he played all the instruments on the track. There's a couple of occasions in our lives where there's a song that becomes the Christmas song and you just hear it for the rest of your life. You know, this didn't exist when I was a little kid. And now every Christmas, it's one of those Christmas songs that people...
Like Mariah.
Mariah, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
I would say even more than Sir Paul McCartney.
Wonderful Christmas Time. Very, very controversial, that song. Some people really don't like
it. Some people really hate that song.
Yeah.
I like it fine. You know? And the thing is, because now we're just talking about Paul McCartney, but because it's it is a controversial song that way, it doesn't get as much airplay. Like I don't hear that song as much as I do Last Christmas or Mariah in the supermarket or like out in the world. But it's fine. But Last Christmas, I think, is a really good song.
It could be about anything. It's just the song itself is just, it's this sad little plaintive thing where somebody falls in love, someone dumps them. They're trying to figure out how to get through the holidays again without somebody. This is before apps, before swiping left or right for people. So
you just had to wait to bump into people. That's what we had to do.
You had to stalk people. It was really hard, y'all. But George managed. I mean, like I said, this was not a part of my life. And then every year now, since around Christmas time, they play this. If you've ever worked retail like I have, you learn to hate. You either just tune it out or it's a misery, like the Christmas music. I personally like Christmas music, so.
I love Christmas music.
Yeah.
I love it.
Elvis, Beach Boys, Mariah.
All of it.
All of it. I'm totally.
James Brown.
Bing.
Run DMC.
Yeah.
I'm
Phil Spector's, well, not
it.
Him, but the people
Phil
on
Phil Spector's, that is one of the best albums.
Of all time.
I forget what it's called. It's like Phil Spector wants you to have a Merry Christmas or else.
He was a terrible man.
He was a horrible monster.
He was a monster. We had a What a Creep episode on him. So anyway, he was terrible. But anyway, that music is great. And it's something that we had. And so, George, it's a song. And it was on the other side of Everything She Wants. Yes.
Everything She See. You know, something about George Michael that you hear from time to time is he was somebody that was kind of universally respected in the music industry. Like anybody who worked with him just loved him and thought he was so one of the most brilliant people they've ever worked with. Elton John, I think, has said that. Just like everybody who he's worked with has nothing but great things to say about his talent and you know, and he's just, I don't know, there's just something about George Michael that's just so endearing and so likable that I don't know what it is about him. It's just
there's something
it's just about his personality that is you just you just love him. I just think he's so great. I want to hear everything he did. I love his little dancing around. Like I said, the leather jacket, no shirt underneath.
He was handsome.
All of it. He was gorgeous.
And he could sing.
You know, really sing.
He sang "Somebody to Love" in Wembley Stadium as a tribute to Freddie Mercury. Like, that is not an easy assignment.
Yeah,
it's not. You know, even if you have a chorus behind you, that doesn't matter. There's a great clip of him rehearsing that song, and David Bowie and Seal are watching him from the sidelines backstage.
I mean, this is what I mean.
Right?
Come on.
He went solo around 86, 87. You know, and Andrew Ridgeley married one of the women in Bananarama. He's totally.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
That's right.
But George went on his own. And I remember when the CD Faith came out. And somebody got the album. Some people got the cassette. But I remember giving away that CD as a Christmas present.
I think I had the cassette.
I gave that out as a Christmas gift, like, to a bunch of friends. We were like, I just want the George Michael album. That's all I want. And they play his music in here in this movie. And it's just like, he was a brilliant songwriter.
I mean, really like an Elton John. I mean, it's really, really up there on par and underrated. Just
completely. He was he grew up in the 80s. People were very homophobic. Like we're going right now with trans people and the dumb talking points and the way that the people's lifestyles are being depicted and mentioned without any kind of proof or backup or anything. It's just sort of assumed. He was gay and he didn't say anything about it until later in his career because he was scared to. He grew up in a very Catholic or very...
With good reason.
Religious
and also in a very homophobic... I mean, when you think about when Wham... I mean, it sounds silly. I know. It's just like when we talk about Freddie Mercury and the band is called Queen. And people today are like, oh, you really didn't know? Like, we really didn't know. We were so
I didn't know the Village People were gay.
I know.
I was shocked.
So true. I know. But with George Michael in particular, you know, when Wham hits and blows up, this is the height of the AIDS epidemic. I mean, their rise in fame is totally, you know, is concurrent with the rise in the hysteria around the AIDS epidemic. We've mentioned this before in some of the other movies that we've talked about in books, like the Elton John one, for instance, that if you weren't there, it is very, very difficult to convey how... hysterical. I mean, I really don't know what other word to use. People were so paranoid and there was so much hate crime that happened. I mean, people were, you know, as I probably have mentioned before, like people would just go into gay neighborhoods and just beat people up, you know, for funsies.
Gay bashing.
It was really horrible. So I understand, you know, even if he would wanted to come out and be an openly gay man at that time, he would have been putting himself at risk, but I can't imagine any record label being like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. They're not going to do that.
No,
it was so terrible. It was really, really bad. Before it got better, it got really, really ugly. And that's right when they're starting to really, you know, become globally known. So yeah, I get it. Why he would, you know, I'm amazed that he ever did come out of the closet under those circumstances, but obviously he was somebody with a really super strong character.
True. So he had to basically hide himself. And so he's writing these romantic songs and then he has a woman in his videos. And then he finally just kind of was so sick of hiding that he was arrested going into a public park looking for a partner, which is what people did because we didn't have apps. We didn't have Grindr. How do you find people?
We cannot stress this enough.
Yes. You can't
would just go wandering the world.
Yeah. You went to park rest stops and stuff like that. You need a place that's private. So there's not a lot of people around to like point because people would get fired for being gay. If they had, you know, and it was also assumed if you were gay, you obviously had AIDS and you were just going to give it to everybody around you by breathing. It was that hysterical.
I mean, it was really that bad. She's not exaggerating at all.
So he was arrested for that and he had terrible drug and alcohol problems because he just felt all this conflict. And in the end of his life, he was getting it together. But in spite of all of this, and he had a partner for the good last 4 years of his life that took care of him, George Michael never had kids, but he was so incredibly generous with his money and didn't tell people about it. When he died, that's when we found out he worked at homeless shelters all the time. He would watch shows, and it would be like, see, people would be talking about like, oh, we can't afford this operation for a kid. He would pay for it. He was so generous and kind and such a good person in his heart and his actions. And when he died in 2016 at 53, and it took months to figure out what he died from, but it was multiple things, but his heart kind of gave out. But when he died, Christmas Day, we all of a sudden you're playing his music and you're like, damn it, he was so talented. I mean, there's going to be a George Michael movie one day, which is like there was an ABBA movie and there's, an Elton John movie, because there's so much music that you can reach and listen to. Like he spanned everything. I Knew You Were Waiting for Me. Remember that with Aretha Franklin? I loved that song.
Oh, yeah. I knew you were waiting for me. He was, yeah. It's just so aggravating to think that he's gone and at such a young age.
So the song comes out in 84, and it's on the flip side of Everything She Wants. And it's a mad hit, and it's the same year that they had the song Do They Know It's Christmas. So those were those two big 80s Christmas songs.
Yeah, that's right.
Which you listen to that one now and it's a big yikes.
Oh, what a bummer, man. Yeah.
Let's support colonists. Yay.
Yay.
So this last Christmas, so it kind of went to number one and then it didn't. And then this is something else that really happens now. It happened occasionally when we were growing up, but what really happens now with streaming, and now people counting streaming and downloads versus buying records or buying CDs, is that a song that was popular, like Kate Bush, Running Up That Hill, when we were teenagers, all of a sudden is like a brand new song for people. And so this last Christmas and Mariah Carey's Christmas song, every year they go up the charts because people are like, oh, I need to hear that song again. It's just because it's a great pop song. I have it from the Wikipedia page for...
Oh, good.
So this is for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the last week of 2020. In the UK, the song went to number one and it was streamed 9.2 million times. So I was on a podcast a few weeks ago to promote my book, and I was tasked to come up with a
I'm sorry, what's the name of that book again?
Oh, okay. It's called Filmed in Brooklyn. And it's about movies and all this trivia and tidbits about all the movies that have been filmed in Brooklyn the last over 100 years. And then, so the Troubled Waters podcast had me on. And one of the things I had to do from a supper was we played a pop game. And it was a game where we take songs and try to turn them into Thanksgiving songs. And then I was given Last Christmas. Let me just present this to you right now.
I can't wait to hear this. I haven't heard it yet.
The bassiest lead vocal of all time. The Crash Test Dummies. Mike Castle, I gave you 1 point for that.
I appreciate
because
that,
you
actually
really did. You took it a place that I didn't expect.
You didn't expect it?
No, I didn't expect it. Margot, it is your turn. We are going to give you the tune of Wham's Last Christmas. Whamageddon doesn't start until December 1st, so if you're in the annual habit of depriving yourself of the best Christmas song, we are not stopping you. You just have to get through the month of December without hearing Last Christmas or whatever. Make it a Thanksgiving song. Your track starts now.
Okay, so Thanksgiving, I've been very stressed.
No, there's a track. Oh, are you also explaining yourself?
I'm going to explain myself. I have to.
It's our right.
It's our right.
It's
our goddamn right to party.
This is what the radio should be. Before every song, it should just be like, hi, I'm Katy Perry. Let me just explain what was going on.
California girls. Very Beastie Boys. I fight for my right to party and to give my intro. Okay. So, but you can also put that in there. I mean, it's, with the election and everything, my IBS has been kicking in. So I have to incorporate that with my Thanksgiving. So, okay. Maestro, great. Let's play the music. Thanksgiving, my IBS kicked my butt, literally. I really think I better just stay at home. I dream about your mashed potatoes and they make me cry. I wish I could enjoy it with grandma's gravy, but oh well. Oops. And that's it.
Oh my God.
It's very scatological.
2 points. 2 points to you for that one. Damn. One, you know, for the relatable subject matter, and two, for revealing yourself as someone who's heard the first 10 seconds of Last Christmas and nothing else. Right? Because, like, you had the tune for like a second. And then it just was like, now I don't know this song.
I had to go to the bathroom, dude. You did it confidently.
Anyway, you are very welcome, everybody. The movie is, so nowadays, you know, Christmas movies have become a huge deal over the years. They were always popular. I have my own theory that in 2016, a lot of people started embracing Christmas movies as escape from what's going on at the time. But
I think that's true.
I totally think that is.
I think I'm going to go along with that theory.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Emma Thompson was, and her husband, Greg Wise, wrote the script for this movie. And at the time, they had to get permission from George Michael. And she started it in 2009. And George Michael said the only person he would allow to adapt his song into a movie was Emma Thompson.
Come on. What?
So
stop it, George Michael.
So he gave the okay. This movie is directed by Paul Feig. I never know if I pronounced that correctly. But he was with Freaks and Geeks. He directed the new Ghostbusters. He also directed episodes of The Office, Mad Men, Heavyweights, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. He has just these incredible, you know, credits to his name. So let me do this. Let's play the trailer. We'll take a quick break and then we'll play the trailer and then we will talk about this movie.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Look, okay? It's not my fault.
I bet nothing's ever your fault, is it, darling?
You have thrown away your life working in some silly Christmas shop.
This baby don't cry.
Hey, Elf!
This is my little helper.
I have nicknamed her Lazy the Elf because she appears never to work.
Father, don't let Christmas get me out of here.
What?
Jesus, where'd you come from?
Well, what are you looking at?
Might be a falcon.
Damn it!
I think you just pooed in your eye.
Yeah, I think so.
It's good luck, you know.
What is?
Getting pooed on, my bad.
I'm busy, you're weird. Goodbye. You've missed 5 doctor's appointments. Mum is scared.
So, tell me about sleep.
She never sleeps.
Exercise?
Religiously. Not at all.
Alcohol?
Oh, she's drinking like the pirate.
Well, okay, fine. Thank you, doctor. Thank you so much for your time. Let's go, Mum.
Again.
What do you mean again?
Did you follow me here?
Are elves always so cynical?
Yes, relentlessly. These are dark times.
I'm Tom.
Kate.
Last Christmas.
Here we are. Is this a bit where you murder me?
So what is it that you do?
I sing.
Oh, it's amazing.
Anyway, boring.
I'm not bored.
You are so strange. Where are you going?
We're there.
Well, you're not homeless.
No, I volunteer here.
Why didn't you just get Saint tattooed on your forehead?
You were great at your job when you started, but now it's like you don't care anymore.
Hi.
Can I help?
I'm a mess. I was really sick and I nearly died. I don't tell people because they get weird. But I don't think you'll get weird.
No.
I'm just scared all the time. They just expect me to be normal and get on with life.
There's no such thing as normal. And just being a human being is hard.
Maybe you should do something nice for someone.
Deck the halls with bells of holly. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly.
Oh, boy.
I've been volunteering at the shelter.
Seriously?
That sounds like a healthy choice. What's wrong with you?
I've been trying to find you, but you keep disappearing. And then when I do bump into you, accidentally, I might add.
It wasn't accidental.
Why me?
It's always going to be you. You like? You're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. You're made of everything you do.
You can't be here!
Now we're leaving!
We were also talking off the air because we couldn't decide. We couldn't remember when this movie came out. And that's because it came out just before we had the pandemic. It was in November of 2019. We didn't know what life would be like in a few months. So this movie,
had we known, had we would have run to the movie theaters in November of 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was given this, I don't know why. Some people just put Haterade all over and I do not know why.
And you know what? I think, well, I don't know if you mentioned this on the air or off the air. I think, but what you had a theory, which I think is correct, the more I think about it, and it's because of this crummy trailer.
Yeah.
This trailer is not good.
It gives too much away.
It looks cheesy. And it gives everything away.
Yeah. This movie is a lot deeper and more thoughtful than you think. I mean, first of all, it's Greg Wise and Emma Thompson. Emma Thompson won an Academy Award for screenplay for, not Emma, which is the one she wrote?
Sense and Sensibility.
Sense and Sensibility. Yay! Okay, so we start.
Ouchie, my head.
We have some amazing people here. Amelia Clark. We have Henry Golding. They are our two leads. Michelle Yao. It's like the third movie we've done with Michelle Yao this year.
Right?
I mean,
I know. And she's another like really great. She's a really good character actress.
Yeah. Ritu Arie as Jenna. Patti LuPone is in here for one quick second.
All kinds of Sue Perkins is in there for a minute. Oh, and Peter Serafinowicz, who I love. He's so Sue Perkins and Peter. I could just watch a movie with those two.
And Rob Delaney.
Yeah, they're so funny. Rob Delaney.
He's in there. So it's just this exceptional cast. It starts with, and I was really surprised, but it starts with our character who's Katiana, but she goes by the name of Kate, and she's born in Yugoslavia, or they're
in the former Yugoslavia, yeah.
Which is, yeah. We were talking about that. We were talking about searching for Bobby Fischer, because Bobby Fischer at that time was having a championship, and they were like, you shouldn't be there. It's a war zone. And anyway, mm-hmm. But anyway, so her family escapes and they move to central London. And here she is. She's 26 years old, and she had some kind of an operation. We don't not quite sure what's going on, but
yeah,
she's a Flibberty Gibbet.
Everybody is. She's making bad decisions. The moment we see her, she's making terrible choices. For some reason, everybody in her life is giving her a break about it. You know, she's making awful, awful choices. And every now and again, somebody like, "Well, you're sick, so you know, give her a break. She's sick," but she's really screwing up her life. It's right out of the gate.
She crashes with one friend, and I think she sleeps with her boyfriend, or she makes out with him or something.
She's sleeping with a lot of guys.
Yeah.
You know, that are just random people, but also like just generally making very, very bad choices.
You know, she's staying with another couple, and then like she comes home drunk. She, you know, her parents don't want her home because she doesn't want to be home with her parents because they give her a hard time because she's screwing up her life. She's in her mid-20s. She works as an elf at a Christmas shop in London, which is my dream job. And I would be.
That shop looks like,
oh,
it's so pretty.
Heaven.
It's so
okay,
pretty.
First of all, the Londoness of this. How much do you want to go to London? I've never been there at Christmas time, but
Nor I have never been at Christmas time, but London is my favorite city in the whole world. I love it so much. If I had unlimited funds and it was not an object whatsoever, that is where I would live.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it there. I absolutely love it. And it was so beautiful. They filmed a lot of it at night because Emilia Clarke was in Game of Thrones and was like a huge star. And Henry Golding was in Crazy Rich Asians. Crazy Rich Asians. Thank you. So they had to film like middle of the night because there would be so many fans like looking around for them. But she's playing someone. She works at the Elf at the shop. She's drinking a little too much. She's eating bad foods. And she's making these really poor choices. And her boss is like, look, I'm this close to letting you go. This is a real problem. And this is when she meets a guy named Tom, and Tom is Henry Golding, and he's very handsome and sweet and kind of sweeps her off her feet and just kind of shows her how she's living her life and is sort of learning about her and trying to be a good example to her. Like, you know, and his whole thing is that he helps at the homeless shelter. And that's what they keep calling it, by the way, in the movie. I know we say unhoused people now, but that's where he works. So that's where he gives his time. And he says, maybe you should be doing that. You should be learning to give back. And as she's doing that, she's also dealing with a home life. And so she has parents that are immigrants. They speak with a thick accent. She's the baby child. Her sister's the successful one, but very resentful.
Yeah. And also we established at the beginning of the movie that she's a singer.
Right. And she's always going on auditions.
She's going on auditions, but she's kind of screwing up. This is all during the run up to Brexit.
Yes. And there's a lot going on here.
She's an immigrant, part of an immigrant family. And they are starting to feel some of that anti-immigrant culture that is, you know, that was spreading there and here at that time.
Yes. So she meets Tom and he's like gradually at one scene. I do like the scene with her family where, you know, they get into the sister has a promotion and Katya is like, my name is Kate and I'm fine too. And
I was so worried. Where you are?
I was volunteering at a homeless shelter.
What does it mean?
It means helping, Mum.
You?
Yes,
helping.
Yeah. Sure you were. And I just rescued an orphan from a burning car.
Did I miss something?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but Mata, I'm sorry. The dinner to celebrate your promotion.
Second promotion. Great achievement.
Thank you, Dad.
Now you are here, we have Grantor.
I'm sorry. Seriously, Mata, I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter.
Well, thanks a lot, Mum.
Your favourite.
I'm all right, actually. What, so is there something wrong with your favourite cake now?
No, I'm just not hungry.
There's always something, isn't there? Like, you're hungry, you're not hungry, you're tired, you're overexcited. Your tummy ache. Gosh, you're so tiresome, Katerina.
Oh, name it to the kurats, Marta. It's Kate.
Hey.
You taught her these terrible words?
Of course not.
Do you actually even know what nabi and tunukurats means?
Yeah, I actually do.
It means I will nail you to my dick.
Yeah, I knew that. Not dick. Penis.
Well, dick means penis.
Dick means penis.
Dick means penis.
No, dick is our neighbor.
It also means penis.
Dick, our neighbour is called penis?
Dick is penis. Penis is dick.
Just
that's the same
dick
word.
And penis.
It's just, I'm trying to explain.
Whatever, you know, yeah. I'm just so bored of you.
Marta, stop. She's ill.
She's not ill anymore, Mum.
She's not ill anymore, Petra.
And what you know? What you know anything about this family? You are never here.
I'm not ill anymore, right?
No, she's still ill. Why is she still working in Zilly Christmas shop when she was always the bright one?
Well, nabiam to no kurets.
You are a very hard worker.
What? Oh, right, yeah. Well, apparently with my pathetic, inferior little brain.
Now she's wasting her life, which only a miracle save her.
Wasting my life, thanks, Mum.
And you have job you dream of.
Yeah, except that I didn't dream of it, did I? You did. Your dad can't be a lawyer here, so I had to be. No matter what I might have actually wanted to do.
Yeah, would you rather drive minicab?
Look what it done to him. He looked 1,000 years old.
Oh, thanks.
And you sit there and you think it's absolutely acceptable to say that she's cleverer than me and I'm expected to swallow it just because she's been ill.
Marta, calm down.
No, don't you dare tell me to calm down, all right?
No.
You don't care about anything, Katerina. Or Kate, or whatever your name is now, because you're ashamed of who you are.
Oh, I'm ashamed of who I am. What about you? Where's Albert?
Shut up.
On your big celebration dinner, where is your girlfriend?
Elba? Elba is... Elba is Marta's
flatmate.
Yeah, and that's how it's always going to be. I bet she's really happy about that.
But it just kind of sees like what she grows up with and what's expected of her. And there's always, once again, like Margot says, there's this cloud of like, she was really sick. We have to look out for her extra. But also her mother and everybody's telling her, you need to look after your heart. You're not treating yourself well, the food that you eat and your lifestyle. And by as she gets to know Tom, she starts working at the shelter. And as she's working at the shelter, she starts singing, you know, busking outside to raise funds. And then she helps come up with the idea of, let's do a show, a talent show for Christmas and raise money that way for the shelter. And as she's doing this, she's gradually growing up. She's, making amends with her friends that she wronged and her sister and her sister's girlfriend. At one point, she screws up so badly, like she leaves the keys in the lock at her store and the store gets broken into. There's, so she's really screwing up.
Just going to write this out for you.
Oh, they've had a right go here, haven't they?
Oh, it's only just kids.
Yeah, I reckon it's just kids. I just
said, this is your crime number. You'll need it for insurance.
What happened?
Break-in, I'm afraid. Very common this time of year. Place like this is a prime target.
Lovely it is. Is that a crocodile with pom-poms?
Yes.
And who's this?
This is my employee. She locked up last night, so please ask her if she saw anything.
Nothing out of the ordinary. You writing that down?
I am. How do you spell it, ordinary?
Well, we're done here. We'll be in touch if we hear anything.
Pity. It's a lovely place.
It is. I love Christmas.
No, you don't. You make Have a Merry Christmas sound like a death threat.
What are you talking about?
Merry Christmas.
Have yourself a Merry Christmas, yeah?
You see, you just did it.
What do you mean I just did it?
Let me get my phone out. I'll record you and you'll realise you sound like Jason Statham.
Well, that's a good thing, because I love Jason Statham, so that's not even an insult.
Santa, I
don't talk to me.
But listen, I
said don't talk to me. You forgot to lock up. Don't deny it.
Well, I can pay you back.
Now, you listen to me and you listen good. You were great at your job when you started. That's why I took you on full time. You got away with people and I felt so lucky to have you.
Thanks.
But I don't feel lucky anymore. Since you came back, you started losing your shit. You don't care about anything. So now, you care about this. I had to smash my own window to make it look like a break-in. Otherwise, I wouldn't get the insurance. You turned me into someone who broke the law. I can't believe I'm even giving you another chance, but I am, because I am a good person.
Yeah.
But one more thing, and you're out. So clean up your mess, you stupid, stupid girl.
Getting it back together, she one day visits Tom's apartment, and there's a real estate agent in there. And he says to her, oh, hey, are you here to look at the apartment? And she says, what are you talking about? It's my friend's apartment. He goes, oh, no, it's been in probate. And so supposedly on Christmas in 2016, that's when Tom really died. He was hit by a bus on his bike. And that's the day George Michael died, that date. So that's why they picked it. She realizes, oh, all these times I was with him, there's a time like she's changing clothes in the alleyway and he's supposed to block her and she doesn't realize it. And all these different times it's going through her head like, oh, I've always been alone. He was an angel. He was a ghost. He was somebody there to. And it's a very, very sweet scene where he talks about, I gave you my heart and take care of it. And it was always going to be yours anyway, which is such a sweet line.
Why can I feel you?
Because I'm a part of you. Take care of my heart.
I promise.
It was always going to be yours one way or another.
Okay, I'm going to poop on this movie for just a minute. It's not as schlocky as what's it called with Emma Thompson and like everybody.
Love Actually.
It's not my favorite movie. I mean, I'll watch it if it's on and it's Christmas, but to me, it like it's just too many subplots. Like, it just agreed. Everybody, they're wide. It has like 8 too many subplots for me. But so I like the simplicity of this story, that it's just about this girl and coming to terms with how she's living her life and all of that. And she's, what we forgot to mention is that she is obsessed with George Michael. So she loves his music. And so it's playing throughout the movie. But again, it's not like hitting you over the head with it. It's not done in a schlocky way. It's done really, really beautifully. And when she has this moment with Tom, that's where she tells him that she had a heart transplant. That's what happened, was that she was sick. And when she actually, we're spoiling everything, but yes. If you saw the trailer, it's already spoiled for you anyway. So, but anyway, so she starts singing George Michael to him, and he also knows the words. And at the time I was like, oh, that's weird. He knows the words to that song, but okay. You know, but she loves George Michael and I just love the way that they use his music throughout the movie. I think it's done super, super well. And yeah. And then the end, you know, yeah. So she realizes that he was not actually there, but he is actually there because
she has his heart
is in her body.
And that's when she realizes, like, she's going to take better care of her heart from now on, because mm-hmm. she wants to live and understands that life is a gift. And so she's always, almost always, is in this little elf outfit. And she is adorable.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute. She's so cute.
So cute. And she does her own singing, and she does a great job of singing.
She does do a great job.
Yeah. I like mm-hmm. Michelle Yao, who takes on the name Santa because she runs a Christmas shop, but she's...
It's wonderful.
And then her Danish boyfriend that she sets them up with. I mean, there's just a lot of like little touches here and there. Mm-hmm. It's a
holiday
movie.
But not too much.
Right.
But not too much where you're like, okay, we got to go find out what happens to the clerk at the, you know, oh gosh. I love it. It's just enough subplot for me.
I like the scene also. I mean, when there's a couple and they're being harassed by someone because they're speaking in their native language. And then she comes over and just is being an ally, you know, and talking to them and making sure they feel included. Because this is like something that also has increased in the last few years. Some people have like just started letting their racism come out.
Yeah.
In
just because that they seem to think that's okay now.
Yeah, it's not, by the way. But
yeah, just in case you're
wondering
doubt.
How we feel about that. Yeah,
you happen to be listening to this podcast.
So it comes out and it does $125 million, which is a lot of money. I mean, especially for a holiday film.
Yep,
and it's on. So if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, like critics, I just think. Just had no sense of humor about it. I think they really give it a hard time. It's yes, if you've seen a million Hallmark movies and Lifetime holiday movies and Oxygen and all of them like that do. Yeah. Sure, they're the same, but this is a cut above.
Oh, it absolutely is. It absolutely is.
It has so much heart. It has so much humor.
It's not the the hardened female executive, because in order to be successful as a woman professional, you have to have no heart and hate Christmas.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're aware of that.
Or you have no life. That's all you do.
Yeah. But their dad runs a Christmas tree farm back home, which has been struggling since her mom died. And so she goes back home. Anyway,
yeah,
it's not that at all. It's way more sophisticated.
Solid. Like, I exist.
Part-time cycle courier who doesn't even have a phone.
I know.
It's pretty sad.
I could sing before. Turns out, I can't do anything.
I think the whole being special thing is overrated. I think just be a human being is hard, you know, really hard.
You seem to manage all right.
one thing someone said to me helped me. Every little action of the common day makes or unmakes character. It just means that you're built of everything you do. And that's okay.
Who am I?
I don't know. What's all this me business anyway? What's wrong with not knowing, you know, being inconsistent, just uncertain? Why do you have to be anything?
And reality-based, but also with this magical element. Yeah, I just thought it was super good. I really, really enjoyed it. I can't believe I did not see the twist coming, but I did not see the twist coming. Why? Because I got all caught up in the Christmas and the George Michael of it all. So when it happened, I was like, I literally gasped. And then I was like, you rube, you should have seen that coming. But I totally did not see it coming.
But it's cute, and the way they handle it is beautifully done.
Agreed.
Paul Feig is a great director. I mean, he makes every location. I mean, I guess you could just aim a camera in London, and
the locations are so pretty. They're so gorgeous. I know.
And it's a nice, like, interesting variety of people because they live in a big city, mm-hmm. and you're going to meet a diverse group of people. That's all we're living in a city for. But that's the story. They fall in love, and he always will have her heart, and she'll move on and she'll figure out what it is. But she starts helping people and taking accountability and taking care of herself, and that turns her life around. And that's just a very simple, sweet
message.
She's
happier.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it feels good to help people, and it feels good to
tosses in.
I'm loving the work. I'm loving the work. Wrong vibe, though. Yeah, you can't call the audience names.
And you're a wanker.
I know it, Dora.
Well, so I knew the lighting would be crap, so I brought my own. Yes, thank you. All right, we've got lots to get through. I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone who's put so much hard work in. Mum, for making the most ginormous crème, bitte. I think you'll enjoy. My mother, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Now, I'd like to thank everyone, individually, but Dan said no speeches were allowed.
Yeah, now get off, elf.
Yes, thank you, Daniel. Seconds away. I just want to say this one thing. We are so lucky to be alive.
Hear, hear.
We are so lucky to be able to help each other in little ways and in big ways. The reason we are lucky is because helping each other is, in fact, what makes us happy. That's all.
Give us a song, Kate!
A song?
I completely adored it. I think it's sweet. I've watched it twice. I'll watch this again. It's really,
I loved it. Yeah. I really loved it. I'm so glad that we did it. The way that I loved that it wasn't like a jukebox musical of George Michael's mm-hmm. music, and I love that he was on board with it, and I love the like you said, the really, again, not too many characters, but just the right amount. And just the right amount of variety in their stories to make it really interesting. Like her parents, that mm-hmm. story was was very interesting, but you know, we didn't have to like see every single aspect of it all the way through to the end and give them a happy ending. It just, you know, it was more realistic, and but again, with that magical touch of this guy that is not really there. Yeah. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
They have great chemistry. The cast is great. It has some really funny people in smaller parts, and yeah, it's a total recommend. And it's a total tie for me. I can't tell you which I like better.
I know, because the music is so beautiful. It just is really a lovely expression of you know, adding a story to that music with, like I said, without turning it into a jukebox. Okay, I'm gonna poop on something else for a second.
Okay.
I didn't even see this play, let me just tell you. But Todd went to go see, I think we had a friend who was in the orchestra. He went to go see this musical that was based on, it was a jukebox musical based on the music of Huey Lewis and the News.
Where was this playing?
Here in San Diego. So San Diego is one of these places, like test markets for this. Hairspray originated here. Tommy originated here. And so there's a lot of musicals that kind of get tested out here, mm-hmm. and some of them are great and some of them are not. So he comes home from this show, and I was asking him, like, so what's the plot? Like, how did they put a plot together for the music of Huey Lewis and the News? And Todd's like, okay, well, there's this main character, this guy, and he works at a box factory. And I was like, you're kidding me. Because it's hip to be square.
Oh, no.
Yes. So it wasn't that.
Oh, yikes.
So, yeah. And Todd was like, how did you know? So this, I love the way, so this is, I know, it's not, it doesn't feel like some of these other, you know, like these jukebox musicals where they're retrofitting a story to the music. It's just like a beautiful story, someone who loves that music. And yeah, I just thought it was so well done, just all the way around, the performances, the sets, the costumes. Emma Thompson is hilarious as the mom,
so
but she's
funny.
Also really touching and heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just watch it. It's a great, I think it's a holiday classic. And how did I not see it before now?
No, but well, it's part of our lives now. Yeah, maybe the trailer. Yeah, it got a lot of crap for the trailer. I mean, it's
like, why didn't they pay as much attention to the trailer as they did to the film? Is it a totally different team? What's going on there?
Sometimes people just like to hate things. I mean, it's like, it's because it is very twee. It's twee. I mean, it's
well,
it's,
I know, but
it's so what? It's a nice Christmas way. Movie. Yeah.
I watched the trailer before I watched the film. Okay. And I watched the trailer and I was like, oh man. All right. Okay. I'm going to watch this movie. I'm going to, you know, it's going to be a Hallmark in the UK. I'm all right. Here we go. And it wasn't at all. It was so much better.
I love this way better than Love Actually. I mean, I know
me
people
too.
People have, they have their fans, and I respect that. Okay. But
I like, there are moments of that movie that I like, but as an overall, just.
Yeah, this was way better.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. It's a better movie. There, I said it. Okay. So what are we doing next?
Well, I'm thinking. We are doing Disney.
We are doing Disney.
So somebody recommended a few months ago when we first said Disney in December, they said, hey, you know, Freaky Friday is a Disney
That's
movie.
Right. It
is. If you have Disney Plus, it's streaming the two Freaky Fridays. There's the original with Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
And then there's
yeah.
the one with Lindsay Lohan and yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis. So I'll probably watch both. But the book.
I'll probably watch both too. But which one do we want to cover for the. I seem to remember that the Jodie Foster one is extremely true to the book. Am I remembering that correctly?
We'll find out.
Because as a kid, I read the book first.
When you were a kid?
I read that book. Oh, yeah. I read the book and then I watched the movie. I seem to remember. Was the movie? Maybe it was on cable or something. I was gonna. For some reason, like everybody was really into that movie. Like everybody at school
oh, yeah.
was really into that movie. And I could not go to that movie. I don't know if my mom would let me go or I couldn't find a relative or somebody to take me to the movie. Nobody invited me. I don't know. But this, so I was like, well, fine, I'll just read the book. So I read the book. And then later I saw the movie. And I, in my memory of it, they're pretty true to the book in that version, which I know they're not really that much in the
updated, yeah, the Lohan mm-hmm. one. So we'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's Mary Rogers. The book I got in paperback really easily, but it's also, I looked it up, it's on the Libby app, on my Libby app anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a quick read. Like, this is,
mm-hmm.
like, the font is, like, gigantic.
It's huge. I can read it from here over
I don't
the
need
screen.
My glasses to read it. Yes, exactly. So I was like, okay, let's do that. And that'll be a fun way to start off in December. So cool. We'll do Freaky Friday. And once again, please, you know, join the Facebook group or just send us your suggestions wherever you are. And Margo, where can they find you?
You can find me online at coloniabook.com, and all of my social media callouts are at She's Nacho Mama. And where can they find you and purchase Filmed in Brooklyn just in time for the holidays?
Makes for a great holiday gift, y'all. It's in paperback and it's with History Press. And you could find it wherever you get your books. That's Filmed in Brooklyn. You could find me on social media at Brooklyn Fit Chick on Twitter and Instagram. My site is brooklynfitchick.com. And I am on the TikTok at Margo Donahue. All right, y'all. Have a great weekend. We will see you very soon for Disney in December.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. But the very next day,
thank you so much for listening to the Book vs. Movie podcast. We are a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more podcasts you will love at frolic.media/podcasts. We follow the hashtags Lady Pod Squad and Potter and Family. If you want to support the show, you can go to our Patreon page. Go to Patreon and look for Book vs. Movie podcast. We have a basic Facebook page, but we also have a private Facebook group. Go to Facebook and type in Book vs. Movie Podcast Group if you want to join that. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Book vs. Movie. Spell all those words out. If you'd like to send us an email, it's Book vs. Movie Podcast, spelled it all out, at gmail.com. You can follow Margot D at